Mike Golic, Trey Wingo here as we are beginning the phases. You know, we've talked about in states and everything that's going on in the country and everything that isn't. States tried to reopen, some perhaps too soon. Sports are trying to reopen, major team sports, as today is opening day for spring training part two in Major League Baseball. Right. And it's the beginning of the NBA's assimilation towards the bubble as team facilities can open up.
Yeah, in basketball, the guys go back to their facilities in their home cities. And then on the days July 7th, 8th, and 9th, three different groups will fly down to Orlando and get into the bubble. We talked to our own Malika Andrews a little earlier. She is going through the process in a hotel outside the bubble before tomorrow she goes into it. And she will be there throughout, so I'm sure we'll have her on many times through this. But you know, we're seeing states kind of shut down a little bit again. College football players, as gyms are closing in Arizona, there's a college football player at Arizona saying, then why are we still on campus? So we have those issues to worry about. Are they safer to all be on campus, or should they go home? While there, I think, was a lot of steam rolling ahead toward July that we had talked about, there seems to be a little foot on the brake now of, oh boy, you know, this is starting to get bad again with these positive tests. So where do we go? And also, just because we need someone to help us get through it, it is the start of the second half, as Trey mentioned. And Trey brought this up earlier, so we threw it out there. So it was halftime. So everyone's in the locker room at halftime, and we're running out there for the start of the second half.
Yep.
Who did you want to give us that halftime speech? Who would give us that halftime speech to motivate us for the second half of this horrific year that we're having so far? Who would be that person that could motivate us to go to the second half? You went with Herm Edwards.
My road dog, Herm Edwards, absolutely.
I went with my guy Bill Curry to do that, and we put it out there at Golic and Wingo, and boy, we got some answers. It is interesting. Someone said, I say this as a New England Patriots hater. This is Andy. But if you want to turn this year around, Bill Belichick is the guy you're looking for. Nobody does halftime adjustments like Bill Belichick.
Yeah, see, this is interesting, right? He's correct. Nobody does halftime adjustments better, but we need an emotional.
But he went with adjustments, so, you know, and that's okay if you want to go there, because God knows we could use some good adjustments as well.
Yes. Well, so, we could also use, like, what's the line? Do your job?
Yeah.
Wear a bleeping mask. So, do your job.
So doing some adjustments is good. And then there's the one, a motivating speech as well. So, Andy, I like where you went. Yeah. I like where your head was there. So that was a good one. Beth says, my choice is Frank Caliendo and his cast of hundreds. We need him now more than ever.
That's next on House of Buggin'.
Love that.
That would be very, very good.
Oh, man. Someone's being mean.
What'd they say?
Not Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, come on. Now, see, that second half is fine. It's just the last few minutes of the fourth quarter.
That's
we need
tough,
to parse though. That one a little differently.
Yeah.
That was a good one, though.
That was.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Someone said the captain, Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
The speech that was given right before the jump, not only does it apply, but the motivation we all need as well. Then I love this one from Kyle. Denny Green. The virus was what we thought it was, and we let it off the hook.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
I mean, wow. How about that?
Ain't that the truth?
Justin says 100% Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
You get some good cursing in there.
Absolutely. Or today we celebrate our independence from Bill Pullman in Independence Day. That would be a good one, right?
That would be a pretty good one. So keep those coming at Golic and Wingo. We're just coming out of halftime. Who did you want to give that halftime speech so we could have some motivation going into the second half of this year, which has been horrible? And it's going to be an interesting year because obviously we went through the beginning of this a pandemic and so many positive tests, so many deaths and hospitalizations. And we thought we actually were flattening the curve and things started to open back up. And we see where the positive tests are going again. And then in our world of sports, what that effect is going to be, because we have been talking about how big July is going to be for a lot of different sports, either restarting or starting their season. And now people are tapping that brake pedal a little bit as we go.
Well, one of the things that's been sort of brought up in theory as we start the NBA bubble plan is, okay, if someone wins a championship in this scenario, would it be looked at the same? I have always argued, Mike, that I think it will be more difficult to win a championship this way because of everything that's going on with the restrictions that are in place, the rapid run-up to the postseason, the lack of days off in between all these games. I mean, let's be honest. We always sort of joke about it. You know, the NBA playoffs begin in April and end in June, which is the length of most regular seasons because of all the series being seven games at most, and there's lots of days off in between. None of that is happening. Well, Draymond Green, who knows a thing or two about winning NBA championships, was on with Jalen and Jacoby and was asked specifically if he thought there would be an asterisk next to the championship team this year, should we get there.
I think it will, just because, you know, everyone will always say, well, you such and such got this amount of championships, but he also got that one where COVID was going on. So I think it'll definitely have an asterisk by it. But in saying that, you know, when you look up in the record books, it's not going to have an asterisk next to it. So at the end of the day, that's all that matter. I mean, public perception at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, that's all someone's opinion. But when you look in those record books, it's going to say a champion and it won't have an asterisk by it. So it is what it is.
1,000% correct.
Yeah.
It's absolutely right.
I mean,
people will remember if we you talk about the champion for 2020 and you get into a discussion, there will be a discussion. Well, yeah, remember that year this happened and that happened. It was shortened. But the bottom line is they're still champion.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, I'm cool. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah. We've had a couple of strike shortened champions.
Right. Oh, exactly.
In recent memory. And I don't think anybody looks at wasn't one of LeBron's. Or was it the Mavericks? I can't remember. Was it one of the two the Mavericks won in a row, or was it the Mavericks in their season? One of those.
The bottom line,
no one thinks of it
in the history books. There's no asterisk by it.
Yeah, and no one looks at the first Spurs championship of the five that they've won. And said, yeah, that one doesn't really count because it was again a work stoppage shortened year in 1999 when the Knicks as an eighth seed made it all the way to the NBA Finals.
And then there's the. Obviously, the pandemic and the positive test, that's been top of mind, but also the social justice issues going on. And we know with the NBA that there's talk of, you know, putting Black Lives Matter on the inside of the sidelines of the three arenas there. We had heard that from the jerseys, they may have different names on the back or may have slogans as well on the jerseys. We've had a couple of people. We had our own Jay Williams say, yeah, okay, that's cool, but there needs to be more. We've had J.J. Redick. We heard sound from him. The plays for New Orleans basically say the same thing. Those are nice, but we need more. And now Matt Barnes, you know, co-host of All the Smoke podcast on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons, he also said, all that is nice, but.
So I think there needs to be some sort of, I don't know if you want to call it demands, that might seem too harsh, but some requests. That the players need to make to these owners to really kind of give back to these communities, add some diversity to management, and whatever else they feel is, you know, lacking in our game. Obviously, we have a beautiful game, but, the numbers don't lie when it comes to diversity and actually owners of these franchises giving back to these communities. I think in the past it's always been the NBA Cares. It's kind of been, not to take anything from the NBA Cares, but I've been a part of the NBA Cares where we go take pictures, you know, for a handful of minutes and then leave acting like we really did something, you know. So this has to be something that's much deeper than that, something that is not just a one-time thing. It becomes a monthly thing or quarterly thing.
It is amazing of where we are and what Matt said about what has gone on in the past. You kind of, this happens, you get outraged, or this happens and you do a little bit and then it kind of goes back to what it was. Well, this time around, we have already seen change and we have seen momentum keep going. But you're also dealing at the same time with the health issues of the pandemic and trying to play a sport and stay healthy doing it while also continuing the momentum from this movement. So, I mean, these are about two of the heaviest issues you could have, and they're going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's a lot. And that's why, like, for example, the Lakers still haven't been informed whether or not Dwight Howard is going to join them.
Right.
He's got a couple of things going on. Obviously, he and Avery Bradley were both very concerned about putting a pause on the causes they were really important about going forward and saying if we just go back and play, we might lose that momentum. But there are also some family issues he's working through right now. So the Lakers still don't know. Now, obviously, Dwight Howard is not the most important cog for the Lakers, but he turned out to be a very, very nice role piece off the bench. And if you're going to win
their role, right?
If you're going to win some NBA playoff series, you're going to need your bench players to step up. Now, granted, you always sort of say you need some of those guys to play better at home and on the road in a playoff series. That's sort of thrown out the window. But if he's not there because they're already missing Avery Bradley and they're going to try and replace him with J.R. Smith, these are the things. Okay, where are we thinking about the Lakers and their real possibilities of winning it if all these things are not there?
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. As, again, 7th, 8th, and 9th, next week, teams will head down to Orlando. And, again, we had Malika Andrews, our own Malika Andrews, on earlier. She is down in Orlando. She is at a hotel outside the bubble going through testing every single day. She's down there, and other support staff for the NBA are down there, and they're all getting ready to go into the bubble tomorrow. So they will be in it, you know, a week ahead of the players getting down there, and she will be in that bubble for the entirety. If this goes the rest of the season, she will be there the whole time. And she already talked about the massive testing procedures, about how there'll be one bus driver per team, and they're trying to keep everything the same. The people that come in to make up the rooms for the players in the hotel, they'll try and be the same person that does it. So there's just a small amount of people involved in each of the things going on. We said earlier, one of the other protocols was a chef or a certain team of chefs or workers
right.
working with each team. So it kind of stays the same. So you're not mixing and mingling different people in there. So a lot of things that they thought of. And as we said, man, you can try and think of everything in the world,
yep.
but then that one thing will pop up that you go, wow, we didn't think of that. But it certainly does seem like there's a lot of protocols that are going through a ton of testing. As Malika said, they do the test in each nostril and the throat. So they're testing a lot there. And that obviously, again, is a whole idea, is to get everybody there with negative tests and then try and within that bubble, keep it that way.
Right. I mean, and we're dealing with the reality of it now. It was a theory before today. And when we talked to Malika, I mean, she has the potential to be there for now until the middle of October. I mean, literally packing was a chore. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Mike. Like, I've covered the Olympics for ESPN, and I would think I was gone for 17 days.
Right.
You know, Jeremy Schapp has done, and Chris Fowler have done Tour de France's. I've gone to Wimbledon. A couple of
weeks at a time.
Yeah.
It's 100. It's like 100 days.
Yeah. It is a significant chunk of time that they're trying to deal with. So that's one of the logistics, more than anything else, that the NBA is trying to get to go and sort of resume their season. Meanwhile, there is one sport that has resumed their season and has been through 3 weeks of it already, dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic in a variety of ways, including the first positive test being Nick Watney on the PGA Tour. We talked to him yesterday. And a spate of tests before the Travelers Championship at the TPC River Highlands here in Cromwell, Connecticut. Well, now the PGA Tour is on to Detroit and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And for more on that and the PGA's return to play, delighted to be joined by Ricky Fowler, who joins us now in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ricky, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time. How would you assess how the tour has found its way back to playing in light of everything that's going on and the spate of positive tests we saw at Cromwell last week?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You know, the tour's done a great job. When you look at the amount of tests that have been administered and how many guys we're dealing with. And obviously, in a perfect world, you would have zero positive tests. But, you know, I think with the number that we've had between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry, it's very minimal. Obviously, we knew there was going to be some risk involved coming out. But all the measures put in place, we're creating our own bubble basically here on site at golf courses, whether it was last week in Connecticut to Hilton Head to Colonial and now Detroit. So it's definitely nice being back playing competitive golf, but there's very little energy out here without the fans. As we all know, when it comes to sporting events, the fans are a big part of it. So it's a little quiet, but at least we're back playing and competing.
Well, anybody that knows you and watches you on tour, when they see in your golf shirt, they see that tattoo of the Olympic rings. You were part of the U.S. team that played in Brazil in the Summer Games in 2016. And quite frankly, there was a lot going on there at the 2016 Summer Games. There was a lot of unrest, and there was the potential of the Zika virus and all that stuff. So did that in any way, having to be sort of somewhat sequestered for the Olympics, prepare you for what you're dealing with now?
I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, it was definitely a concern for a lot of people, and going forward into the Rio Olympics, you know, worrying about safety and security measures and, you know, with Zika being around. But once we were down there and, you know, there was, everything was put in place. Another point where the tour did a great job of making sure we had the people around us, making sure we felt safe. We had security with us wherever we went. And as far as Zika went, I mean, I think it was more hyped up on the media side of things. I think I saw one mosquito the whole time I was down there. And, there's going to be risk, really, any types of places you go. It all just depends on how you go about your business, what time you may be out doing that. And, I think, like I said, like I've mentioned a couple of times, the tour's done a great job, and it's always nice to be back in Detroit for Rocket Mortgage Classic. I have a great partnership with these guys. And like I said, I think the unfortunate part is just not being able to have the fans involved.
Now, we're talking to Ricky Fowler again in Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And I want to get into what their Rocket Mortgage is doing in Detroit. It's a very, very important thing. When Nick Watney tested positive, he was the one. And then that following week, more tested positive. Whether being at a tournament, Ricky, or hearing about it as a golfer, did it give you a little more trepidation of, should I take a little time away, or do I need to be a little more aware of this? Did it change your point of view at all when more positive tests came?
It didn't change my point of view or outlook on it. We've been taking it very seriously throughout the time off. The first month, basically just stayed home the whole time, did a grocery run once a week, and we had our own little bubble that we created with Justin Thomas and his girlfriend and a couple of our other friends. So that was really the only people we saw. And then out here on tour, you're around more people, but, being able to social distance, we got plenty of room on a golf course. So staying away from people, at least far enough away. And you can kind of, in a way, create your own little bubble within the bigger bubble here. So I haven't at any time felt unsafe or like we've been in a bad position.
Yeah, trust me, when Mike and I play, social distancing is not a problem.
Not a problem.
He goes left, I go right. We'll see each other on the green and nobody touches the stick. It's pretty easy. As Ricky Fowler is with us. So, Ricky, take us through this season, right? Because you're a guy who's always one of those guys that's around the top of the leaderboard. You have a couple of big major championships under your belt, including the Players' Championship a few years ago. Obviously, we're not going to play the Open Championship this year, but we still have the potential for three majors in a very congested time. What's your schedule going to look like going forward as you try and bag that one thing that you came so close to in 2014, that first major win?
Yeah, well, we started back, like you guys mentioned, 3 weeks ago. I played the first 2 weeks and didn't exactly have the start I wanted. You don't want to have weekends off in the golf world. So we're looking to kind of turn things around here in Detroit. And I'm going to play the next 2 weeks, which will be down in outside Columbus, playing at Mirfield, Jack's place. So next week is kind of a new event. The John Deere wasn't going to be able to move forward. So I think Workday picked up that week. So having that and then Jack's event. So 2 weeks at Mirfield would be pretty cool. After that, we've got WGC, which is in Memphis for FedEx. And then we've got a major. I'm hoping everything is going to move smoothly because that one's out in San Francisco, which we all know has been a little bit of a hot spot. I know the tour's talked about having some fans at the second week of Columbus, which will be 2 weeks from now. And I think everything's pretty much on a day-to-day, kind of week-to-week basis out here. But like I said, I'm ready to turn my season around with not getting off to the start that I wanted.
Yeah, listen, it's we know it's been different for everybody inside our world of sports and certainly outside the world of sports as well. As we're talking to Ricky Fowler, who works in conjunction with Rocket Mortgage. It's a Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. And I can't wait till you can start shooting some of those commercials again because I do dig those commercials. But they're also Rocket Mortgage is doing something called the Initiative Changing the Course in Detroit. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? They're getting very involved out there.
Yeah, Rocket Mortgage, along with Quicken Loans, and then at the top you go to Dan Gilbert, someone who's been very instrumental in trying to turn Detroit around and bring Detroit back to what it once was. You know, being able to see downtown down here down by the Shinola Hotel, what they've done to rebuild the city in a way. I know this is just kind of still towards the beginning phases of it, but what they've been able to do here is very impressive. So Rocket Mortgage being able to give back to the local community and the surrounding areas, this golf tournament obviously being a big part of that. They've got different initiatives around the tournament. They've got the 3-1-3 challenge, which is, in short, if someone makes a eagle on 15, a hole-in-one on, eagle on 14, hole-in-one on 15, and a birdie on 16. If they were to do that at any point during the week, in any of their rounds, you could put them together, and they would be $313,000 that would be donated in their name. So a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to raise a lot of money and put it all into the city of Detroit.
That's tremendous.
That would be, eagle hole in one birdie is
not too shabby.
Okay, that'd be something.
Yeah, you have. I mean, it is over the course of four rounds, so you could make an eagle one day, you can make a birdie another. Honestly, I mean, obviously, we all know that hole in one is going to be the hardest part. So we'll see if that can happen.
Trey, you've been playing golf for about 40 years, and you haven't.
Mike,
got
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But thank you for bringing that up. Ricky, we appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully continued success for you and continued success as the tour continues to navigate its way, traveling across the country in the middle of the pandemic. And this week they're in Detroit. Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks, guys.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
If you do that in any of your rounds, you add it up together. If you can pull that off, obviously he's right. The hole in one.
The hole in one has been the problem.
Yeah.
Had an eagle. Few birdies here and there, that hole-in-one, so much.
I'm waiting for my hole-in-one because normally when I play in the charity tournaments, there's a prize for the hole-in-one, and I'm waiting for a really good prize. I could have had some hole-in-ones,
but you just didn't feel motivated?
The prize wasn't big enough, I thought. Listen, so I didn't want to waste that hole-in-one there.
I will say this about you, having spent as much time, before this show, all those years on NFL Live, you are freakishly good at almost anything you try to take up. And from where your golf game was like 2 years ago, when your stated golf goal was, well, drunk or sober, I shoot the same mid-90s,
exactly right.
So what the hell?
Yeah.
You have turned into pseudo-golf guy, and your game has picked up dramatically.
Scaring me a bit.
It's scaring me if you are going to get that hole-in-one.
I am getting it before
quit.
You.
I will quit the game of golf.
I don't know where we'll be in our lives, but expect that text one day. Trey just got a hole-in-one.
And then I'm going to throw all my clubs
in
the
ocean. You'll block my number.
You know what it is? I'm taking up tennis. Back to bocce, ladies and gentlemen, because Golic just snaked my hole-in-one. All right, coming up next, how Major League Baseball is preparing for the upcoming season, what should be expected and what should be unexpected. We'll get to all of that after this. All right, Golic and Wingo with you. On a Wednesday morning, presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who knows a thing or two about Major League Baseball, knows a thing or two about what it means to be a World Series champ, and knows a thing or two about the team that is, quite frankly, expected to finally be a World Series champ after coming so close the last few years. That would be the Dodgers. He is Jerry Hairston Jr., who joins us now, 16-year MLB vet. Jerry, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time and perspective. First of all, as we're beginning the spring training thing here again, part two for Major League Baseball, a lot of our sort of baseball insiders have been giving their prognostications for the season, and it was our own Buster Olney who said he gave baseball a 5% chance to even start the regular season and a 0% chance to finish it. I'm assuming you're a little more optimistic than that?
Yeah, I'm a lot more optimistic than that. You know, hopefully we are able to finish the season, but you know, I think the things that have happened recently with the Philadelphia Phillies, I'm shutting down their spring training facilities. I think these teams are starting to understand and realize, you know what, we really need to take this thing seriously as far as protecting not only our players that are coming in, but our staff. A lot of these staff members are around the ages of 45, 55, 60 years of age. We got to make sure that everything's in place for their safety. So I think a lot of teams have taken heed to that and are going to be a lot better prepared to start spring training 2.0 and try to keep these players and coaching staff safe. So I'm giving it a 75% chance that we not only start, but we'll finish it.
Oh, I love those odds.
Boy, I'd love to get you and Buster in a debate. Yeah, that would be great.
And by the way, speaking of the coaches and such, there are two coaches from the Twins who will not be part of the team as they go forward for safety reasons, where their age bracket falls and
sure,
along the lines.
Understandably so.
Yeah. So as far as baseball is concerned, the play on the field, Jerry, I'm wondering, because it's a shortened season and really each team is it's playing nine other teams only this year, so you see a lot of the same people over and over again, what will be more of an advantage, pitching or hitting?
Well, that's a good question. You know what? You need everything to win, but pitching, I think, is always paramount because you got to figure the hitters will be a little rusty, you know, out of the gate. And if you have dominant pitching, not just starting pitching, but if you have dominant bullpen pitching to keep the game 2-1, 3-2, or throw out some shutouts every once in a while, I think dominant pitching has a really good opportunity to kind of rear its head. And I think if you look at teams that have pretty good starters, dominant starters, let's say like the Washington Nationals, the Yankees adding Cole, and the Dodgers, you know, adding a healthy David Price to go along with Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw, those are the teams I think should get out of the gate fast. But if you look at also teams that are young, that have good young pitching, let's say like the San Diego Padres, that could say, hey, you know what? Why not us? It's only 60 games. It's not a marathon. We can get out of the gate pretty quick and start the season 10-2. We might have a shot. So arms are very important.
Jerry Harrison with us, 16-year Major League vet, World Series champ with the Yankees, and, of course, been covering the Dodgers for the last few years. Let's talk about the Dodgers. You mentioned David Price. They go all in on the trade for Mookie Betts, and it looked like for a while his Dodger tenure would be not to play a game had they not come through with a regular season and find a way to get it done. How much pressure is on this team coming so close the last few years and really having everything at the helm they need to finally get over the hump this year?
I think there is a lot of pressure, but I think nobody feels it more than the players. And what I mean by that is they understand that you only have a certain amount of time, a certain window to win a championship. So the clock is ticking for guys like Clayton Kershaw, Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen. But this is a good type of pressure. You want this type of pressure because you know you have the team to get it done. And you add guys like Mookie Betts, a former AL MVP who's in his prime. You add a guy like David Price, who's a World Series champion and has a chip on his shoulder. You know, last year he wasn't healthy. You know, now he's completely healthy and ready to go. So these guys expect to win. They expect to be in positions that they were in the past, but this time close out the deal. And you rather much be a team that is expected to win than a team that's not expected to win. You might be finding another job in a year or two. So you want that pressure.
And then, Jerry, again, you've been in this league a long time, 16 years, and we're seeing players like Ian Desmond and others, Ryan Zimmerman, have chosen not to play this year. Ian Desmond, he put out a statement. He started to list a whole lot of things he think is wrong with the game of baseball. And I'm sure you have read that. And I'm wondering, when you left the game, I believe in, 2013, where did you think baseball was along those lines and where they are now?
Well, I'll address – I played with both Zim and Ian Desmond. We're teammates together in Washington, and I got a chance to hit up Ian yesterday and told him how proud I am of him. You know, he's a very intelligent man, and just looking at the game of baseball and just looking at society in general, you know, as a father, as a black father, knowing that, you know what, I want to make sure I am there for my kids with just so much social unrest that's going on. And I'm sure his kids are watching TV, watching CNN, watching what's going on. He wanted to make sure he's there for his family to be able to explain what's going on. And, you know, for him to address the systematic racism that's been happening in our country, it is happening in baseball. Make no mistake about it. And when I left the game in 2013, I was very fortunate to have an opportunity with the Dodgers to do TV. I still do that. And the Dodgers are still at the forefront, leading the way and making sure people of color, women, are having opportunities in in this game of baseball. But a lot of other teams aren't doing that. And I think that's what Ian Desmond has been addressing. Guys, there are so many former players that are qualifying that are getting overlooked year in and year out in front office jobs, coaching jobs, managerial jobs. You know, there's a guy like a Doug Glanville, one of the smartest people I know, okay? Doug Glanville's never got an opportunity to be a GM. You know, Doug Glanville really didn't have an opportunity to be a manager. I'm shocked that he's never had that opportunity. Eduardo Perez has never managed in the big league. These guys are so intelligent. Eduardo is bilingual. You know, he is perfect guy for a job to be a manager or being in the front office, and yet he's yet had that opportunity. So, you know, just seeing the game the way it has been going, I think that's what Ian Desmond was talking about. And things need to change. And it's one thing to talk about it, but you have to be able to take action. I'm hoping Major League Baseball realize that. The 29, 28 other teams start to realize that, and hopefully they start making some change within their organization.
Hey, I agree with you 100%, but quit stealing all our analysts, man. We like Eduardo, and we like Doug for their intelligent forethought and foresight on baseball.
But they can help so many teams, man. The list can go on and on. Marvin Freeman, Ken Hill, Delino DeSales Sr., Derek Lee, Josh Barfield is in the organization with the D-backs. I think he's running their minor leagues right now. He has got a chance to be a GM very, very soon. Curtis Granderson, look, Troy Hawkins, guys, I can name so many qualified guys that could be helping organizations. You know, and I think that's what Ian was trying to address.
Right, sure, absolutely.
Guys are sitting at home.
Yeah. Jerry, as always, we appreciate your time and your insights. Thanks, and hopefully your odds are better and more accurate than Buster's, because I think we all want to see baseball when it's all said and done.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jerry.
It.
Anytime, guys. We need baseball.
We do. We do.
Let's see if we get it. Again, players reported today, and also it was announced yesterday, the minor league baseball is not playing.
Done for the
this year.
Year.
Shut down for the year.
Yeah. So,
but there will be minor league players because they had the 60-man taxi squad for, you know, if they need to replace players on the major league level.
And that's something the NFL is going to have to look
at.
Yep,
they are.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we will continue to celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day because it deserves to be celebrated after this.
But I think since the not knowing has been upped this year with the COVID,
It's Golic.
That word's the word I was looking for.
And Wingo.
The hate continues. I don't know who you guys are gonna kick around in a while.
But oh, come on.
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. It is July 1st. We've had a lot of fun with it today because a couple of reasons. It's the halfway point through 2020, and 2020, for the most part, has pretty much been a suck fest. There's no question about it. But we are we believe we're a second half country and a second half year, and we're going to come back strong. So we put it out there on Twitter. Okay, if it's the start of the second half, someone had to give us a really good halftime speech to sort of get us motivated and get through and do the things that we have to do to make sure that the back half of 2020 is way better than the first half of 2020. So we put it out there. Who would you want for your halftime speech? It's interesting. You and I both came up with ours very quickly.
Yes, we did.
And it was very easy, and it wasn't even much of a debate.
Yeah, you went with Herm Edwards.
My road dog.
And I went with Bill Curry, both guys we both know very well.
Yep.
We're getting more than a few Bill Belichicks, not for the motivation of you're going to run through a wall after he's done talking to you, but for the fact that he does halftime adjustments so incredibly well.
We need some adjustments.
I like the thought process of that because the first thing you think of is who will give that motivational speech.
Yep.
Like how about Mel Gibson and Braveheart?
Correct.
You know, we'll go down that road. Yeah, yeah.
Maximus in Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
Would be a very, very good one.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman.
How about King Leonidas?
Yes.
300.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And then Bill Pullman as the president at Independence Day.
Right, right.
These are all some pretty good ones that have been coming in. I did like the one that you mentioned earlier, It was the great Denny Green rant, God bless him, the late great Denny Green, after the Monday night meltdown that the Cardinals had against the Bears that year, where he said the Bears are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook, but there was a modification to
it. Yeah, yeah.
The virus was what we thought it was, and we let it off the hook.
How about it?
So we need to keep it back on the hook, ladies and gentlemen.
And here we go with Joan. John Belushi, who could forget the line? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans? Forget it. He's rolling. and people to this day, when you put that on Twitter, they're like, it wasn't the Germans.
Yeah.
It was the Japanese. We get it. Watch the movie. Expand your horizon past the limited time that you have been on this earth. You know, things happen.
You know who else is getting a lot of love is Lou Holtz.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I can see that.
I did not play for Lou. Came after me at Notre Dame. Won the championship in 88, the last championship they had. And, of course, there's people putting in Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we could ask Bill Curry, who I wanted to do it, about Vince Lombardi's halftime speeches.
Correct.
He lived through them.
Yes, he did. And the other thing we're celebrating today is July 1st is not only the start of Major League Baseball Spring Training Part 2 and the part of the plan, the first phase to get the NBA into the bubble, it's also Bobby Bonilla Day. And Bobby Bonilla, look, there are contracts that are worth more money in terms of, in recent memory, how this thing has played out. But nobody, I think, has played the game and changed what was supposed to be one sum of money into a completely different sum of money better than Bobby Bonilla.
And he did it because of the team he was playing for,
wanted
to go a different way.
They messed it up.
It could have very easily been a lump sum. So, Bobby Bonilla ended his career in 2001 playing for the Cardinals, but he ended his time with the Mets in 1999.
Yep.
So, at that point, he was owed $5.9 million. Instead of paying Bonilla the $5.9 in a lump sum, the Mets agreed to something different because Mets ownership was involved with a Bernie Madoff account that promised a double-digit interest rate over the course of the deal.
Yeah, he always promised those things.
And the Mets were poised to make a significant profit. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Bernie Madoff's in jail.
Yes. Largest Ponzi scheme in the history of the United States.
And the Mets didn't make any money on that. So they could have paid him $5.9 million and been done.
Yep.
But instead, Bonilla and his agent agreed to, starting July 1st and following every July 1st since 2011 to 2035, when he turned 72 years old, he'd be paid roughly $1.2 million. So if you add that up, $1.2 million for those 25 years. That's $30 million.
Again, the most important thing is the original amount was
$5.9 million.
But they added an 8% interest rate on the deferred payment, saying if you're not going to pay me, then the money that I should be having and accruing when I have it, if you're keeping it, you need to accrue that interest. And they were like, 8%? No problem. We'll double that with Bernie Madoff. Oops. So instead, because of a deferred payment and that 8% interest negotiated, he's turned $5.9 million into $30 million. You, sir, have won July 1st forever.
Just a beautiful
ad nauseum in perpetuity. So congratulations to Bobby Bonilla, once again celebrating Bobby Bonilla Day. And again, we're getting forward to the bubble and all the things that will go along with that. The Toronto Raptors had to get to Florida first because they had to come in from Canada. So they're quarantining in Fort Myers up until for 14 days before they get to Orlando for the bubble scenario for the NBA. And their head coach, one of the greatest coaching resumes of all time.
Really is.
Raptors head coach Nick Nurse will join us
tomorrow. Love talking to him. I have great stories of what they went through in Fort Myers and how it prepared them for where they're going to go. But I look forward to talking to him.
If anybody can say, hey, I've had it's not as bad as you think, it would be Nick Nurse talking about his coaching resume. Plus, Field Yates will join us, and we will book stuff as well.
Oh, so luckily the Book It kid will be back tomorrow.
Yeah, finally, he's back. He will be here with us. So everybody out there, go celebrate this day as if you are indeed Bobby Bonilla. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Be safe.
Where's my 1.2 mil?